You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. In this segment of Surrounded by History, we will dig into the history behind Southern Minnesota's annual agricultural extravaganza that started right here in Blue Earth County. No, it's not the Minnesota State Fair or the Blue Earth County Fair. Jeff, do you have any ideas?
Actually, I do, because it just happened this past week. You're talking about Farm Fest.
I am talking about Farm Fest.
Am I right if I said it started in Lake Crystal?
No.
Oh,
ooh, we're going to learn something today.
I thought I was ready to already jump the gun. I'm sorry.
Yes. All right. Farm Fest, as we just denoted, has been held annually at Gilfil Estate near Redwood Falls since 1994. But did you know the first Farm Fest was held in Vernon Center?
Did not. Oh.
Today we will explore the history of the annual celebration of agriculture known as Farm Fest. Let's go back to 1972 where it all began. Sit back, relax, and be surrounded by history. The little community of Vernon Center in Blue Earth County gained national and even international attention 50 years ago during the week of September 11th through the 17th in 1972. Shady Brook Farms, just north of town, owned by Bert Hansen, became the site of the 19th annual World Plowing Contest. But this event was much more than just the United States location of the annual World Plowing Contest. It blossomed into a 1,400-acre agricultural extravaganza called Farm Fest USA. With over 1,000 acres of demonstration plots, 65 acres of exhibits, political speakers, state and national competitions, and big-name entertainment. So how did an agricultural extravaganza experienced by close to 500,000 people land in the small southern Minnesota town of Vernon Center? Well, we must begin the story with the man who hosted the event on his Blue Earth County farm, Bert Hansen. So Bert Hansen was a farmer and a cattleman who lived near Vernon Center. Later in life, he wrote a column in the Land magazine from the mid-1970s to the mid-1980s. He was known for raising one of the top shorthorn cattle herds in the nation and being a and also well known for being a pioneer in farm aviation.
Oh.
I know, isn't that crazy?
It is.
In 1947, listen to this quote from him in 1947. "There's nothing like a plane to look over your land. I can analyze a drainage or erosion problem in an hour from the air, which would take surveyors a month." So, I mean, it's just mind-boggling to think that he was kind of one of those pioneers on something that we're just so used to today.
Right. Now it's even drones that just take care of it.
Could you imagine what his mind would be blown if he would have seen that? He also preserved the traditions of old-time farming. In 1927 and 31, Hansen was a Minnesota state corn husking champion, and he is the only man to win this twice.
Well, that's kind of cool.
So, really, it's no surprise that Hansen was approached in 1969 to provide the host site for the 19th annual World Plowing Contest that was coming up in 1972.
Okay.
This was the first one to be held in Minnesota and only the second to be held in the United States because this is a world contest, so it's held all over the world.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. Did not know this. All right.
Mm-hmm. But what was a surprise was how Farm Fest USA turned into a seven-day agricultural extravaganza. So let's talk about that a little bit. Farm Fest USA was held, again, on September 11th through the 17th in 1972 on the Hansen farm. Planning began at least 2 years earlier as Hansen leased his farm for the event, and he took a two-year loss on crop production because of it. The event was planned and managed by Agricultural Promotions, Inc., or we'll refer to him as API. Local residents were invited to participate in event committees, but those committees were slow at getting organized, and even town officials were not always well informed of the arrangements, including traffic, housing, water, and expenses to the city. Eventually, preparations were made for housing, entertainment, local tours, foreign language interpreters.
Wow.
I know, this is just mind-boggling. Minnesota Highway 169 was resurfaced, and the portion that ran along the Farm Fest site was widened to four lanes. Traffic routes to and from Vernon Center were designated with signage. Provisions were made for doctors, nurses, medical helicopters, security, power lines, telephone lines, water to be brought in by tank trucks from the town's water supply. I just have to preface this all by saying this is 1972. This isn't 2022.
Right.
You know, think about how you're going to get all of these resources.
That's a okay? lot going on.
In 1972.
And the best part, the crazy part is they're talking about international again. So people are flying into Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and then rent it. Oh, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Yet. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's some crazy stuff. So,
all right.
So eventually on the grounds, parking was available for up to 20,000 cars.
Wow.
Shuttle buses were organized from Mankato. The Mankato Airport prepared for 300 planes per day.
That sounds ridiculous today.
I know.
Let alone in the 1970s. Wow.
I know. Crazy. Area FFAs began to sell advanced admission tickets, $1.50 per day or $5 for 4 days. Campground sites within a 50-mile radius of Vernon Center were all filled. All hotel and motel rooms in Mankato were filled, and over 1,200 rooms were rented on the Mankato State College campus.
Oh, wow.
The fall term at the college and local K-12 schools was delayed by 1 week to accommodate the event.
Okay, there's a lot going on here.
Individuals in Mankato rented rooms through the Chamber of Commerce. Local farmers provided space for vendors to park campers overnight or provide rooms for others working on the grounds. Some farms were turned into headquarters for, like, media. I mean, it was just absolutely
insane.
Crazy. The world revolved around Vernon Center.
That's so insane.
So the beginning of the event, you know, it's okay. All this stuff is going on. There's tons of people coming, and the week began with fog and rain.
Oh.
After an inch and a half of rain fell, sawdust and crushed limestone was used to cover the mud. Okay? I just can't imagine how messy this is.
Right.
Bert Hansen himself physically stopped trucks from spreading the crushed rock on his fields. This would be a temporary fix for the event, but it would have a disastrous effect on his fields.
Yeah.
The first day saw more people in attendance than food providers had planned for, and there was a definite lack of toilet facilities.
Been to those kinds of events before.
Those problems were quickly remedied for the remainder of the week, although there still remained to be few food choices. Swanee's Cafe in Vernon Center quickly moved into a tent on the southeast corner of the site, serving hot food, but again, they didn't have a lot of food choices. Falling on an election year, local candidates such as Minnesota Governor Wendell Anderson and Congressman Anchor Nelson made appearances.
What a name.
I know.
Anchor Nelson.
Made appearances on opening day. Democratic presidential nominee George McGovern delivered his major farm message at the event. The acting Secretary of Agriculture, Earl Butz, spoke for the Republican position a few days later. I know, you can giggle.
I'm a child. I'm hung up on George McGovern. Did he change his name to be George McGovern or what?
No, that was his name.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But then you threw out Earl Butz and I started giggling like a kid. Sorry, my
That's
gosh.
Okay. It's all good. All good.
All right.
There were big name live entertainment daily, including hopefully some of these names sound familiar to you. Roy Rogers
yep.
and Dale Evans
okay.
on Monday and Tuesday. Charlie Pride was featured on Wednesday
wow.
with Frankie Fontaine, the Bugs Bunny Show, the U.S. Air Force Band, and the Thunderbirds entertained the remainder of the week.
Wow.
And all of this led up to the appearance of Bob Hope on Saturday.
That's insane. Like, how is this the first time I've ever heard about this?
Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. Yes, so Bob Hope was there.
Okay.
Okay. So the event itself, there were field demonstrations that were held daily on a dozen farms in the area, displaying corn, soybeans, grain, sorghum, trial plots. Over 180 types of corn had been planted, and nearly a dozen types of soybeans. Both domestic and foreign farm equipment was on display, and many were also demonstrated in the fields. The U.S. Department of Agriculture arranged a 10,000-foot exhibit featuring the increasing sales of U.S. farm produce abroad.
Wow.
The exhibit was arranged by Assistant Secretary of Agriculture Clarence Palmby, who had grown up and farmed in the community.
Okay.
Lots of ties back to Minnesota and Blue Earth County.
Yeah, there is.
Eight programs advertised for women were presented every day in a 2,000-seat tent. Classes were presented on terrariums and wallpapering, lamb and soybean cooking. A fashion show was held most days featuring fashions from the Madison East Shopping Center in Mankato. The grounds even had a post office located in a mobile unit with its own zip code. 56002. Does that sound familiar?
It is. That's what we have for PO boxes
now. Exactly.
That is kind of cool.
Uh-huh. The Mankato Post Office had been using a FarmFest USA cancellation on all of their mail since June. So for like 3 months, they were promoting. So the cancellation, you know, when you receive a letter in the mail, you've got something that's going over the stamp.
Yeah.
They had a specialized one that went over the stamp, but it was advertising for the event.
They still do that? That's cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
So even though plowing was the focus of this competition, you know, the World Plowing Competition contest, there were also kite flying contest, the state duck and goose calling contest, the Grand National Tractor Pole, the Minnesota Horse Plowing Contest, and the Horse Polling contest. Do not ask me the difference.
Okay.
The state and national plowing contest occurred early in the week, and that chose the contestants for the world contest for the following year.
Wow. Okay? All right.
Local farmer Jim Cornish won the state plowing contest. His award was $150, a plaque, and a kiss from a Minnesota plowing princess.
Okay.
On the other hand, the Grand National Tractor Pole had a prize of $20,000.
Wow.
So.
That's a big money, 1970s.
Isn't it crazy? So this is a lot about FarmFest USA. I think we guys got to catch our breath and realize everything that has just happened. And when we come back, I'd love to tell you about the World Plowing Contest.
And we're back with Surrounded by History, talking with Jessica from the Blue Earth County Historical Society about FarmFest USA and what has grown up to be, or now grown into, FarmFest at Gilfillan, but started in Vernon Center. And this has just been incredible to hear so far. Like, wow.
So it's a really interesting event. But the one thing, the reason this whole thing started was because of the World Plowing Contest that was requested to be held. And then it blew up into FarmFest USA. So we're going to backtrack a little bit to about the World Plowing Contest.
Gotcha.
Because it's an interesting thing here. So it began in 1953 in Ontario, Canada. And I took this off of their website because I think this sums it all up, and I couldn't put it in any better words. So, quote, competitors utilize tractors and plows for the competition, but are not allowed to use the use of modern technologies such as GPS. Of course, this is modern language. They wouldn't have had GPS in 1972. Conventional and reversible plowing are scored using various criteria, including straightness, weed control, crown, uniformity, and finish, just to name a few. In the agricultural world, plowing is a big deal and has strong interests. The purpose of the World Plowing Contest is to foster a vigorous spirit of cooperation and enterprise in producing food for an increasing world population, and by these means to encourage fellowship and understanding amongst the people of all nations.
Wow.
End quote. So, I mean,
well put for sure.
Yeah, but when you hear World Plowing Contest, you're just thinking, I just want to go win the ribbon or whatever
right,
it is.
Right.
But to realize that this really all stems from how are we going to feed the world?
Right.
Which is just mind-boggling. So
I feel like it's a bad naming in that case because that does not get the two do not go hand in hand.
No. So I'll tell you a little bit more about it because we obviously it happened here, and so it's pretty neat that it happened right here. So at the 19th annual World Plowing Contest held in conjunction with FarmFest USA, 20 nations were represented. These men farmed anywhere from 10,000 acres in Zimbabwe to 12 acres in Belgium.
Wow. Okay.
Teams arrived early to practice plowing in soil, which was much heavier than most of them have experienced in their own countries. Many stayed in local homes and plowed on their land. During the week of FarmFest, all contestants and crews were housed in Gage Towers on the campus of Mankato State College. Teams brought coaches and mechanics, some provided by the companies who supplied the tractors. The contest was spread over 2 days. The first day, plowing was done on stubble, the second on grassland, with each contestant plowing a 10-meter by 20-meter plot. All plowing was done with two bottom plows. The contest lasted 3 hours each day. The first 20 minutes, the participants opened a furrow the length of their plow. 30 minutes were then allowed to make adjustments, and the last hour and a half were used to complete the plot. Contestants were judged on such things as the uniformity of depth, furrow straightness, entrance and exit from each slit, and smoothness of running without jerking the plow. Plowing was judged by two teams of five persons each. Each person per team judged a different aspect of the furrow. A farmer from Austria won the contest with 273 points out of 400, and the second and third place winners were both from Norway.
Huh.
I know, isn't that just interesting? So the World Plowing Contest continues annually around the world, with exception of 2020 and 2021 due to the COVID-19
right.
outbreak. In 2019, the contest was once again held in Minnesota.
How did we not hear about that?
This time at Baudette in Lake of the Woods.
Huh.
Since it is the organization's objective to promote peace, encourage fellowship, and understanding among the people of different nations, a monument to peace is erected at each event site called Carn to Peace. The 1972 Carn of Peace Monument was designed by Rod Furin, an instructor at the Mankato Area Technical College, today known as South Central College.
Okay.
Each participating country brings a stone from their country to be incorporated into the structure. The stones are a standard size and engraved with the name of the country. The 1972 Carn of Peace contains stones from 19 of the 20 countries represented in the contest. Yugoslavia was in the contest, but they never submitted a stone. The structure is located just off of Minnesota Highway 169, north of Vernon Center, and marks the site of the 1972 FarmFest USA and the 19th annual World Plowing Contest.
I have to make a drive tonight so I can go
yes,
look at
you
this
do.
Thing.
You
I
do.
I want to go see this thing.
Head down to Vernon Center. It is right there, right off the highway.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I probably drove by it so many times,
you have,
just never even noticed.
I know. And now you're going to look at it and you're going to see all of the special stones that came from all of these different countries and realize that they were all represented here. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. That was all here. Just,
It was. So in the end, the 1972 FarmFest USA was termed, quote, the largest agricultural exhibition ever, end quote. The New York Times described it as, quote, the Olympics of agriculture and the farmer's Woodstock, end quote. There were 75,000 people in attendance the day Charlie Pride performed.
Wow.
And 80,000 for Bob Hope. Total attendance for the 7 days was close to 500,000 people. Here's a fun little tidbit I came across. A Los Angeles couple won a trip to FarmFest USA on the dating game. And it was like all documented.
Oh
their
my
whole
gosh,
trip
that's
was
so great.
Documented. Could you imagine?
I want to find that footage.
The event made a $35,000 profit for the event producer's API.
But it's not much.
No, it's not much. But you also do it in math and inflation math.
Yeah,
you know.
But $20,000 went to the winner alone. Yeah, so.
Exactly. A second Farm Fest was organized in 1976 as a bicentennial salute to agriculture and was located on the Lloyd and Schroeder land west of...
Lake Crystal.
There you go. All See, right. It was in Lake Woo. Crystal. There was no plowing component to this event. Being a presidential election year, both Jimmy Carter and Bob Dole attended. Wow. A long list of country western stars were scheduled to perform. There were 900 exhibitors, 1,000 demonstration plots, and expectations of 1 million in attendance. However...
Oh, I was going to say, there's something going on here.
Heavy rain and mud limited the crowd to less than 300,000 people slogging through the muck. Roy Clark performed, but many of the other scheduled artists did not appear. And as a result, API declared bankruptcy.
Oh.
Marlon Buss of Lake Crystal purchased the Farm Fest name and beginning in 1982 sponsored a yearly event on his family land near Lake Crystal. He promoted tractor pulls, political speakers, and women's style shows and craft fairs. In 1990, Minnesota Farm Fest moved to a location near Austin, Minnesota. And in 1994, it found a permanent home on Gilfillan Estate in Redwood County, where it has been held every year except 2020. It is now managed by the Idea Ag Group, which holds several agricultural events throughout the United States. Well, we hope you enjoy today's program as we explore the rich history of Minnesota's annual Farm Fest. All of the information we share today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society and a special article written by Hilda Parks, Blue Earth County Historical Society volunteer. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.